Hey, we're here for season 4, episode 5, Shotgun. Kelly, what do you remember about Shotgun? Any first impressions?
Well, I was wondering where they took Jesse, and Walt seems to be in a huge panic at this point, so I was really excited to see what was going to happen.
Yeah, Jesse being out of play really puts the warning lights up for Walt. He doesn't know what's going to happen, and that's the worst thing. For a controlling guy like him not to know where he stands, it'd be better for him to know Jesse was dead and just know that he stood where he does stand versus not knowing, I think.
So right, and Walt's really expecting to meet his demise as well, because in the first scene he's talking about, if I don't get back within 24 hours, deliver my money to Skyler. So he's in panic mode.
Yeah, he's driving like a madman, and like you said, he's giving instructions to Saul about how to disperse his money back to his family. You know, I thought about Kelly, it's amazing. He gets pulled over one time, I think I can remember, with the windshield, but he doesn't get pulled over very often for all this crazy driving he's doing.
Yeah, he does drive very erratically, and he gets pulled over for the dumbest thing, which is pretty funny.
He's driving like a madman, going into the opposite traffic and weaving left and right over double yellow lines.
Yes.
Speeding, and in that crappy Aztec, too. It's just like, that's not very safe.
No, not at all. And he's missing his hubcap, too.
Hubcap for an Aztec. That's got to be like 12, 13 bucks. But that first scene takes us all the way up to the credits, and it just really impresses us with the urgency that Walt's feeling. Danger is just closing in on him.
Yes.
And it continues, actually, after the credits. It spans the credits. He's going into this next scene, and he's still searching for these answers. He goes to look for Gus, I think, to get the answers directly from Gus. He goes to Poyos Hermanos. Now, that poor assistant manager girl gets stuck in the middle of all this bullshit, Kelly. She's been there in the middle of Walt wanting Gus. The cousin's sitting there for days. I felt sorry for that girl.
Well, I was actually going to ask you if you think that she knows anything, because her professionalism for a fast food joint seems just beyond and off the scale. She's always very poised and, hello, would you like to try our... And the way she looks at him, like, why you gotta cause us trouble? I always wonder if she knows anything. Is she behind it, too?
I would say no. I would just say that's the kind of employee that Gus hires.
Yeah.
You know, can I help you, sir? Our website is at... Like, she's all ready to give all the perfect little assistant manager type responses.
Yes.
It wouldn't be smart of Gus to let many more people know what he's up to.
No, but there's a lot of unsavory characters that are coming in there. I just wonder, but maybe not.
It's a pretty good wall of defense, I think, for her not to know and just be super professional no matter what.
Right.
And she seemed that way to me.
Yeah.
But they do build up a lot of tension with all these new faces around Poyos, like people coming in just to eat. We didn't know if there were more cartel people or more detectives or what the hell. They just seem to be regular customers, right?
Yes, yeah. You had Walt and Hank and Junior and the cousins and Victor and, yeah, there's been...
Well, and just random people coming in to eat lunch that look like a little dangerous, like a couple guys get out of a truck and come in. And yeah. We didn't know who these people were, but they were all kind of false alarms.
Right.
So now we see Mike and Jesse a little bit more about what they're doing, and they're making collections, and they have to stop at 7 places for these different pickup points that Mike has.
Yeah, it's at first Jesse doesn't seem to care why he's there. He's not asking questions. He's sort of just hugging up against the seatbelt, and then even Mike asks them, "Do you want to know where we're going?" "No, I don't care." So I think he just is kind of preparing himself for doom.
Yeah, Jesse has a little bit of spunk left in him, though, because he says, "I'll slice off your other ear if you don't treat me right."
Yeah, that was kind of later on, I think. In the beginning, he was just sort of like, he didn't even want to know where he was going.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just kind of grouping these together. They're Mike and Jesse scenes here, and we go through a few of their pickups. What did you think, Kelly, of Mike's money drop system, the whole way he had that set up?
I think it was pretty good, and I know that Jesse had kind of compared himself to that before, like how they have their money drop system. He said to Mike, it's kind of the same thing that I do. But I found it cool that when Jesse was talking about, well, if I'm the guy, I need to know, and Mike slams the brakes on and gives him the whole speech about, you know, I had a guy, you're not the guy, you're not capable of being the guy. I had a guy, now I don't. And kind of puts Jesse in check there.
Yeah, Mike wants him there less than Jesse wants to be there.
Right.
Eventually we get to a spot where Jesse fake helps him, and they set Jesse up to make it look like he saves Mike from some guys at a warehouse that are robbing Mike or whatever.
Right.
But we learn later on that this was Gus's plan to test Jesse, and I think what they're trying to do is separate Jesse and Walt, right? They're trying to make them just less of a team, right?
Oh, it's genius. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, who would think, well, we'll just separate them? I mean, drive a wedge between the two of them and make Walt a little less powerful and make Jesse feel like he's super powerful and he's a big hero. It was genius.
Yeah, playing it up to Jesse's needs of, like, just being needed for helping and whatever, protection.
Yeah.
In fact, Mike probably reported back to Gus the first day that, God, this kid thinks he's my protection. What a fucking joke, huh? And then Gus probably said, let him think he's your protection.
Mm-hmm.
But I bet they cooked that up for that very reason. But so we see Walt, the other side, Walt cooking alone. He's exhausted. This whole chore of cooking is hard work, man. He's moving stuff around, he's lifting, he's working, he's all by himself. It's harder work than we first think of, I think.
Yeah, it's also annoying, too, because he finally gets a hold of Mike, and they're really blasé, and he's like, put Jesse on the phone. And after all this worry, Jesse's like, yeah, what do you want? So that's got to also add, plus the cameras. They show earlier that he's really irritated by those cameras following his every move. So he's just not happy at all.
Nothing is working Walt's way. A few episodes ago, everything was going his way.
Right.
Got the big $3 million deal. He's like this new easy job. Now he's like under the gun. And he's lost his partner. He's not sure what's going on. Everything's working against him.
Yeah.
So he's really exhausted, but he has to rush in to help Skylar do that car wash paperwork. And he actually is very supportive of Skylar in this exchange with the banker and the car wash deal, right?
Yeah, I mean, she says, you know, we need to promise to not have any more secrets, complete honesty, you know, no more of this. And, of course, he is, but, you know, that's not the case. But she's kind of trying to treat this as a fresh start for them.
He gives her a little bit of what she needs at the time. He just tells her, we'll be fine, don't worry about it. And yeah, you're right. While they were rushing around in the car, while Walt was trying to wonder what to do with all the money in case he got killed or caught, he tells Skylar he's been thinking about her and he loves her. And it's a micro goodbye, right? It's a premature goodbye just in case.
Right. And he forgets about that message and she goes and plays it. And surprisingly, you know, that was a turn on for her because you see them jump on the bed and they're all frantically undressing. But I didn't expect that from Skylar.
I didn't expect that either. It was such a strong link to their past.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they both missed their past enough to want to rekindle it.
Yeah.
Because they jumped right back into their relationship almost. They had, you know, they were having sex, but they also had, like, humor, and they were friendly and kidding around again. It just seemed like it was not that hard for them to jump back into the way things were.
Right, and then poor Walt Jr. comes home and figures out what they're doing. That's got to be annoying for a kid.
Waltus interruptus.
Exactly.
Just when things get good for Walt, they go bad again.
Yeah.
But then Skylar says maybe you should move back in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Kelly, explain the girl side of this to me. What is she thinking there?
Well, I think that things are getting better, and she's thinking, you know, hey, it'd be easier for our story if you want to move back in, because he's not trying now with women. You know, the second you stop trying, then we're like, hey, wait a minute. And funny that he turns the tables on her and just doesn't answer and leaves for work.
So don't you think there was an element of, though, like her really wanting him to move back in besides just putting up good appearances?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, things are seeming better. They got the car wash. You know, the story went okay with the family. They don't have to hide anymore. And it's funny that he just kind of turned it back on her and didn't respond. Sort of left her waiting.
Now, I didn't notice Skylar's haircut, and Walt didn't notice it. Did you notice it, Kelly, when you saw it in this scene?
No, but I guess this is a good point at any to say that with season four, she had a significant weight gain, and that was due to the fact that she has lupus, or did have lupus, and the medication was making her face puffy, if the listeners noticed that. That's what that was about. But no, I didn't notice her haircut.
So her shorter haircut makes her face look more attractive?
I don't know what their thoughts were on that.
But do you think in real life, what's Skylar's real life name?
Anna Gunn.
Do you think she just had her hair that way for her real life medical problem, just to look better, feel better?
I'm not sure. I hear that the shorter your hair, the heavier your face looks. But, you know, that would have to, I don't know.
Okay. Well, Walt Jr. learns about this plan to move back in, and he's drinking coffee now, and he's drinking coffee out of a Beneke mug. Jesus.
It's a double slap.
Talk about a complete circle.
Right.
She wants Walt back now, and the kid's drinking out of Beneke's mug. Man.
Yeah, and he mentions, oh, Mom said you're moving back in on Tuesday, and Walt had not agreed to that. So she's kind of playing a little mind game there, maybe, with the son, saying that to him.
On purpose, you think?
Yeah. Like, oh, your dad's going to move back in, you know, knowing how much Walt Jr. just adores his dad. And maybe he'll say something that will kind of pressure Walt to move in.
Well, we see Hank looking at the notebook with Tim, Gail's notebook. And they both think Gail is Heisenberg. And since Gail's dead, Hank wants out. I'm done. Heisenberg's dead. This is a done case. Right? And Tim's, you know, Tim... I guess I first thought Tim wanted Hank to help him to give Hank a reason to feel like he needs to get back on the job. But maybe you were right. Maybe Tim did really need Hank's help here.
Yeah, he did, because he mentioned that he couldn't give it to anyone else. Otherwise, the credit would go to the wrong hands. So he just wanted a professional eye to take a look at it. But then again, it reignited Hank's interest.
Yeah. Well, Tim's a little disappointed that Hank's out, but... we see that change pretty quickly, because later on at Hank's house, they have dinner and drinks. And, God, they are opening that wine with a purple corkscrew, Kelly. Everything in that house is purple.
Yes, it is.
And Hank's calling Gail a genius, and how what a creative criminal he was, and just brilliant. And Walt tries to deposition Gail as Heisenberg, tries to say, be careful who you're calling a genius there, detective. Drunk Walt wants to be the genius. He can't allow anyone else to grab that credit.
Right. As soon as Hank started calling him a five-star genius, you could see the transformation of Walt and the horrifying look on Skylar's face as well. Like, what are you doing? Yeah, and an intoxicated Walt decides, well, maybe he's still out there, which, dummy, that now got Hank once again reignited to be back even more in the case.
Did you buy this, Kelly? Do you think this is enough to get Hank back in the case? Just the double thinking of it, like, maybe Walt's got a point.
Yes, because you can see the look on Hank's face, like, maybe. Because he went into some details about the chemist mumbo-jumbo I don't understand, but the reductions and things that would make him think, well, maybe there is somebody else.
So Hank gives it some second thoughts, and then the next day he's looking at the notebook again, and he's still curious about the Poyos napkin having notes written on it in Gail's notebook, and why would a vegan have a fried chicken napkin?
Yeah, and he's up, and he's cheery, and he's apologizing for the mess, so things look like they're getting better for Marie and Hank, because this is the first time he's been actually civil to her.
Yeah, she's just trying to help Hank, and he's becoming less of an ass and more of a centered person now, more of a balanced person.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Kelly, you mentioned Tucker a minute ago, and this was my very last note on this whole episode, Tucker's Hole. When Mike and Jesse were driving around, is that what you meant with Tucker?
Yeah, but that hasn't happened yet. I don't even remember what I mentioned him for, actually.
Yeah, no, I didn't. I thought, okay, it's Mike and Jesse driving around. We're going to see Tucker's Hole.
I know what it was. It's because when they go to Tucker's Hole, they find that bucket of the stolen meth in the Los Polos Hermanos bucket.
Yeah. There was actually a very cool website. You probably know about it, being so into all this, but Tucker's Hole was a very cool Breaking Bad website.
Yes.
Did you know those guys at all, or did you follow that website?
I did, actually. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I always liked watching and reading that website, Tucker's Hole, and that was because of that episode, which I guess must be coming up soon, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Because Mike and Jesse can't be driving around like this forever, maybe one or two more episodes.
Exactly.
So that's it for number 5 in season 4, Shotgun. The next one we're going to do is 6 in season 4, Cornered. If you want to reach us, you can check us out at westcoastproject.com, and Better Call Saul is the podcast. My Twitter handle is @scathingtweets. Kelly, what's yours?
It is BRBA_funfacts.
All right, cool. Do you have anything else, Kelly, before we take a break for number 6?
No, I think that about does it.
All right, we'll see you then.
All right.
Thanks, Kelly. Bye.
Bye.